Welcome to episode 49 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. On this week's show, I'm catching up for a chat over coffee with photographer Drew Gardner. Now, like so many, Drew is passionate about his craft, and I think this really comes across not just in his work, but also on any occasion where you hear him talk about what he does. Our conversation was something of a spontaneous recording, as we were just nattering about how and why photographers share their love of photography. As you'll hear, the long-held belief that equipment really is just a small part of the way we work still holds true. So let's pick things up in a bustling Covent Garden. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 49. Okay, so I'm with Drew Gardner, who a lot of you will know as a very excellent photographer. That's all I'm going to tell you about this. He's a commercial photographer you will have seen through his associations, through working with Manfrotto, seeing him on YouTube. I'll be linking to all these things and his site, but I'm giving no more introduction because we've just turned this on because we're in the middle of a conversation and it's too good to miss. So, yeah, what we're talking about, let's just set this up. Here we go. We're talking about Drew. You put together an instructional DVD, location lighting with Drew Gardner, a couple of years ago now.
That's right, I think it's about
something
three,
like that.
About 3 years ago. It was a lot of fun. It's interesting because you asked earlier, do I look back on it and cringe? Funny thing is, I don't. I must say, I don't watch it, though. Don't watch myself on video. That'd be a bit of a strange thing. But no, the whole reason why I don't cringe about it is because I wanted it to be so much more than an instructional video. I wanted it to be an adventure. Mm. I wanted to take people on an adventure with me. And I think so much of photography is a focus on equipment than actually going out there and doing it.
Yeah.
So really what I also wanted to show people, it's the art of the possible. You know, there are so many great things we can photograph and we can live our dreams. You know, equipment has such potential these days, and a £500 camera takes a better picture than spending sort of £10,000-£15,000 10 or 15 years ago.
And I mean, I don't want to, we don't need to talk about the kit you use, the kit I use. We know it's going to be of a certain level and what have you, but at the end of the day, that's what it's about. The reason we turn the recorder on here, of course, is because we're talking about, you know, getting inspired and loving photography, and there's so much resource out there for people to look at now.
It has never been a better time to be a photographer. That is absolutely the truth, and it's eminently affordable. You don't have to have a dark room. It's all doable. So what's stopping us is not the equipment.
No.
What is stopping us is ourselves. That we all need to get out there and shoot what we love and not just sit and watch it on television, but just to get out there and do it.
Do you think people get intimidated?
I'm sure we all get intimidated, but you know, I think the greatest fear that any of us have is ourselves.
Mm. And do you think people, because they focus so much on the kit aspect, they think, oh, I haven't got this lens, or I haven't got that, and that's what's stopping them?
Absolutely.
It's up here, in their heads.
It's all up there. I mean, I could go out and I could shoot any of the really complex stuff that I've shot. I could shoot it with a 50-year-old camera. Mm. No problem.
And actually, it's interesting you say that. People are, the whole lomography thing and, sort of pinhole photography is making this resurgence. That there's the Trevelyan Library that was built up on people using crappy plastic lens cameras because they're just, it's indulgent.
Yeah, it is indulgent. You know, they do give a certain look and feel, and I don't want to drive people away from this interview by saying, go away and all use pinhole cameras and lomos and all the rest of it and Holgers. But, you know, all I'm trying to say is don't focus on the equipment. There's a fantastic, in fact, It'd be very embarrassing for him, I'm sure, but one of my favourite photographers is an American photographer called David Burnett.
Yeah.
David is a fantastic photographer. I've never actually had the honour of meeting him. I've emailed a few times, but he's won World Press Awards. He shoots for National Geographic. He is one of the big names, but he's not that well known on the blogosphere. Now, what's interesting about David is, of course, he shoots with his Canon, and he gets some really great pictures with that. But recently he sent me a photograph of himself at the royal wedding. Of course, he had the Canon camera there, but he also had a 50-year-old Speedgraphic.
Oh, wow.
And he was doing shots of the royal wedding on a Speedgraphic.
Fantastic.
Not only does he use a Speedgraphic, he also uses a Holger. And so he's exploring every possibility. So you don't have to have the latest, the greatest, and the best. You've just got to get out there and do it. And remember, what does camera mean? Camera means room or box.
Yeah.
And what we put in the back of the box, that can be a piece of paper, that can be a piece of film, or it can be a CCD, which a digital camera has. So don't focus on that. Just get out there and do it. You know, more interesting photography to be done.
And, I mean, there is this, you know, there's a big following for DIY photography. People that, you know, I've said it so many times, we're very resourceful people. If a product doesn't quite do what you want, we'll get the gaffer tape out, we'll get a bit of string, we'll get sticks, we'll do what we can and need to do to get the result. People say, for example, with tripods, if it's not sturdy enough, oh, I haven't got the right tripod. Well, get a carrier bag, fill it with dirt, and hang it from underneath. If that's going to steady your, for that moment, to steady the camera.
Absolutely, I agree with that, but I would say.
But.
No, but what I would say, I have become a bit of a tripod addict, and I've gone from early on in my career not owning a tripod. But the first tripod I bought was 30 years ago. Yeah. That was a Manfrotto 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Or getting on for 30 years, something like that. And I'd say I've got lots of equipment I could do without, but the one piece of equipment that is a non-negotiable is a really great tripod.
And, I mean, you know, we joke about carrier bags and putting weighting on there. It's one that people ask me a lot about tripods, and you say, look, people, it's a bit like with cameras, people spend £1,000 on a camera and get a cheap lens. You know, they shouldn't be doing that. With a tripod, it pays off to get a decent tripod from the start. If you've got a £20 tripod and you're wondering why it's blowing over in a breeze, there's your answer. These ones, which are four legs, and by the time you extend four legs and the centre column, which is a big no-no, unless you're absolutely stuck, the legs are so narrow that with one finger you can wobble the tripod.
Absolutely, yeah.
It's just crazy.
I just find it really handy as a creative tool, because particularly if you're doing any post-production, you can actually get around not having sufficient lighting or all the people not being there at the same time, just by having a really good tripod. Yeah. So it's a key part of my equipment, which, you know, anything serious I use.
And also, I mean, I'm self-taught, and when I was teaching myself photography, I soon came to the realisation that a tripod is good, not just because it steadies your camera, but it actually slows you down. It makes you think about your subject, what's in front of you. And, you know, by default, there is the fact that you can walk away from the camera, observe better, see what you're going to be, and think through your pictures.
Absolutely.
You know.
I agree. You know, it does open up different possibilities, different opportunities that perhaps, we hadn't considered before, you know. Really exploiting slow shutter speeds. And instead of all the craze for a gazillion ISO, why not turn it down to 50? You get these lovely, creamy, low noise images, and you get lovely movement from whether it's people or water. So, you know, a lot of my photography doesn't involve high ISO. I've started going to lower ISO. It gets really beautiful quality. You know?
And one of the things I like about your way of working, and I'm not a stalker or anything, you understand, but I do follow what you do. Last night, actually, I was listening to a webinar that you put on through the Manfrotto School of Excellence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And it was talking about travelling light and,
absolutely,
you know, sort of tips that you get and what have you. But it's a very down-to-earth approach that you take, even with that.
It's quite an interesting one. I'm going to give you a little bit of background to it, because initially when I proposed it, people were like, are you sure, Drew? Are you sure this is are you sure people would be interested in this? And, you know, I chose to do it because I'm sure the people listening to this who have had awful problems travelling through airports. And basically what I've covered in this webinar is my own little coping strategies to get around some of these moments that we have, shall we say, with officialdom, and also great ways of extending our baggage allowance. So, check it out if you want to save yourself a few quid on excess baggage, and it could do you a favour. And particularly with the holidays coming up, if you're flying somewhere or you're going up to a big job, you know, it's useful tips.
Yeah.
And I found out the hard way, folks. Believe me, no one told me. It was a school of hard knocks and disaster for me.
But what does the future hold for you? Because we alluded at the start of our conversation today about, you know, the DVD that you did a couple of years ago. I know you're getting more sort of with your blog, which is pushing out more information to people. People lap it up. The guys listening to this love to hear from industry experts, insiders, whatever you want to call them. So how do you get that balance between, and it's something we were talking about before, the balance between being a photographer and talking about photography?
I think the most important thing is, I like shooting. I also like talking about it. I talk way too much, but anyway.
You're not
But look, my concern is this: that far too many people talk about photography and don't do photography. And you've got many self-styled tutors out there who aren't photographers. Look, I'm not setting myself as a tutor, and really the reason we're having this conversation is I think you've got to shoot, you've got to be involved with it to be relevant. Of course, it's a very difficult balance, and it's not something I always manage. I mean, I haven't been blogging. I had a whole kind of like 6 weeks where I didn't blog recently.
Does that sit uneasily with you?
Yeah, because, I know people check back and want to know what I've been up to. And I think also some of the things that I'm perhaps blogging about at the moment, people aren't maybe quite so interested, because I'm talking about moving image quite a lot.
Mm.
But I have been working on a very exciting project. I'm not going to say any more. I'm not going to say any more, but I've shot my own documentary. And it's taken me 2 years to put together. And it's absolutely based around stills photography. And it's about me taking a remarkable photograph, which has never been taken before.
Excellent.
So that, I am going to be talking about that. So, guys, stick with me. It's moving image, but my heart is in photography. But it's also, I've got one eye on the movie world as well, which I greatly enjoy. But, keeping the balance right. I'm not sure I strike it right, but I just live my life and myself, basically.
And I think, a lot of people that will recognise your name is, let's be honest, by association with David Hobby, Joe McNally, two great, great practitioners. What those guys are giving back, and that's what it's about, giving back to the industry. Do they share the same concerns as you and I talking about for the balance? Or?
I can't speak for I can't speak for David and Joe, but what's really important for me about Dave and Joe is that they're both, cut them and they bleed photography.
Mm.
You know, they've done it the hard way, and they were photographers long before the web came along. It's their lives, and
and that shows, right? You can always tell people that are passionate about
what
they do.
But there are all these wonderful tools out there that we can use affordably, accessible to all of us, and we can all go out there and take great pictures. But no, they share a lot, and I They're very good people as well.
You get that sense. I mean, I know when David set up Strobist, and it's still, I think, still a very modest site given what he's done. He's still very down to earth about it.
David is the most modest person I know, without doubt.
He stands there in his shorts and his t-shirt in any weather. Just getting involved.
He does, you know, he's a good bloke, smashing friend. And he, to give you a bit more of a tease, the documentary I've just shot, David actually came over and helped out with that as well. And he's got a cameo role in it. Yeah, he features in it. So
I'm going to ask a leading question. Is it UK based when you say came over? You don't have to give me any other information.
We'll put it like this. It's a drive across 8 countries in 10 days. And it's taken 2 years to put together. Wow. And David, I'll give a little bit away. David features as a lighting consultant in it, and he's interviewed and he helps us put this picture together. So
fantastic!
Keep your eye out for that one. You're not going to have to wait that long, I hope.
Excellent.
It's going to be a lot of fun, though.
So, see, this is what it's all about, guys. Those of you that are listening. I love photography. Drew loves photography. Drew does, I'll be completely honest, Drew does a lot higher end stuff than I do, and I have no issue about that. But at the end of the day, we both have clients that we love working with, and we love being photographers. And this is what it's about, is talking to other photographers and sharing anecdotes and sharing enthusiasm.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that. And I think it's, you know, we have, you know, photographers, we all share this fantastic common interest. We have more things which bring us together than take us apart, and I think we can learn so much from talking to other photographers. My work blossomed when I started to lecture at the main media workshops.
Oh, yeah.
And that's because I came into contact with a whole new group of people who I'd never met before, but crucially I came to contact with the that's where I met Joe McNally, and it's where I met some of the best photographers in the world. And I used some of their techniques, and I've learned so much from them.
This is an interesting thing. You saying that over the last, say, 10 years, certainly down, I'm from down in Hampshire, right on the south coast. For those of you who don't know, south coast of the UK, just about as far as you can go without falling into the sea. And there was this thing that even locally, I'd want to be talking with other photographers just to network a little bit. I sometimes need second shooters, people to assist me with lighting or whatever it might be. The number of guys that didn't want to talk because if you're a photographer and I'm a photographer, oh no, you're going to nick my techniques, you're going to try and muscle in on my clients. And I think that is just so... The Americans seem to have cottoned onto this very early on, and they don't have that or didn't have that issue.
They don't have it to the same extent as we do. I don't know why, but I think in Britain... I think the 10 most successful photographers in Great Britain are names that none of us know, quite simply because they keep it to themselves.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, actually, but they're the ones with all the big advertising accounts. Yeah. But joking aside, that was actually totally a joke. I mean, we do have more possibilities by sharing and by sharing with another person. I also, of course... They learn from me, but I learn from them.
You never stop learning. And so I was talking to some other photographers recently and saying, even now, I never get tired of watching other photographers working. You know, and because I'm just a geek, to coin the phrase. I'm just a geek at heart because I love photography. And you always learn.
You always learn, but the only thing I would say to other photographers, and I think that... This is another bee in my bonnet. Just
go on.
Well, you know, I think photographers should be nicer to people they're photographing. You know, I think a lot of the time we lose the fact that we're photographing a human being, and I think yes, we should be a human being first and a photographer second.
If you saw a photographer work, if you're walking in the street, we're sat in Covent Garden in London here. If you saw a photographer working over the other side of the road, and you could see that, you know, he's alienating his subject. I know professionalism would stop you going over and muscling in on that, but would you feel compelled to actually say something? No. Or if you knew him, absolutely would you not say something over coffee another time? Or would you just think he needs to learn himself? And
I kind of think that people have to learn their own way. Look, if he was a mate, then I like to think over a beer in a month or two's time, yeah, saying, bloody hell, what was going on? What was all that about? Were you sending them insane? Yeah, what's going on? Yeah. You never get in the way, and you never go on anybody else's turf.
No,
because I think that the most important thing is a people thing more than anything else. It's not, the equipment has so little to do with it in so many respects.
Well, you said it on the webinar last night. I think you said it's 5% photography, and the rest is people skills.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. You know? It is only 5% photography. You know, it's about winning hearts and minds. And it's about getting people to do what you want them to do, but in a respectful manner. You know, it's not, the great photographers, the really great photographers, are great communicators, and they're real joy to watch. Like, I mean, Joe, David, great communicator, really great communicators. And that's a key thing.
So who? I forget now. I always forget who it was. Parkinson Beaton, someone that photographed the royal family, but as part of his series of people jumping up in the air on the spot, and he managed to get the royal family to do it. This is going back into
I can't remember who it was. Was that Snowden?
It could have been. It was back in the days of Victoria and what have you.
No, it wasn't that long ago. Because he got Wallace and Simpson jumping, didn't he?
It could well have been.
Yeah, it's Wallace and Simpson jumping. He did a whole load of.
But you could never do that just because you had the latest camera. It doesn't matter what camera you got.
It
you try
matter.
And get someone of a certain mindset or standing or whatever you want to call it to do something like that. That only comes about because you're being a good
well, exactly.
Person.
I mean, there's a photographer I know works for. In fact, just a phone conversation I was having this morning. This is why being nice kind of pays off, guys. He was photographing a well-known TV celebrity. I can't name sadly. And he was saying he got on really well with this guy, and he said the celebrity is photographing, saying, "Hey, I need the cover for my DVD shooting next week. Are you free?" And my friend said, "Well, yeah, could do it." He says, "Yeah, okay, I'll get my office to book you." Mm. And of course, he took it with a pinch of salt. It's never going to happen. And then this morning, the phone rang, and he's booked to shoot this guy's. DVD cover. So, you know, being nice pays off. Equally, being nasty can bite you really quite hard. There's another very, very big celebrity in Britain who was being photographed by this big-name photographer, and the big-name photographer was being really horrid to their assistant. Being really, really horrid. Mm. And at the end of the shoot, the celebrity went over to the person who commissioned the shoot and said, "I will never be photographed by that person again."
Yeah,
because they were so horrid to their assistant.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't know that
there's
this
no
has
need
happened.
For it.
But, so be nice, guys.
And also, let's, just to sort of place it firmly in reality of professional photography, if money is exchanging hands, you have a certain obligation.
Yeah, it's about money. I get your point, but it's about when you raise your camera, you are entering into an agreement, which is not about money as well, because somebody is letting you into their space. And even when money isn't changing hands, it's about respect, you know, and it's about decency.
And also, if you've got a long flight coming up ahead of you, say 8-10 hours. You want to be on good terms with the people that you're trying to keep in. And it is a team. It's a team effort. You want people to be relaxed and happy by the time you get there. You said in your location lighting video that you like to listen to the music you like ahead of shoots. See, I do listen to what you say. But it's very true.
I get myself in the zone. And I've got my own little routines of, I'll listen to the music I like. I'll have the food I like. I get completely in. And I mean, if it's a really big shoot, I make sure everything is spot on. And it just helps me get in the zone. But everyone's got their own little ways of doing it.
So the moral of this is be nice to people and listen to great music and eat lovely food.
Exactly. You can't go too far wrong. And even if the pictures are terrible, you'll have had a nice time.
And everyone's like, "Oh, it's all right. We can redo it."
Exactly. Yeah. You don't think that this This theory comes about from me being a good photographer. This theory comes about from me being a truly awful photographer in my early years.
Because you were a photojournalist.
I was a photojournalist, absolutely. Yeah. Working on the local paper, Spalding Guardian in Spalding, Lincolnshire. And yeah, I used to make all sorts of terrible mistakes. But I worked out that if I was nice to the people, I could go back and shoot it again.
Yeah.
So long as I was nice to them.
Yeah. I always remember reading a blog post that David Hobby again, did always a couple of years ago. And it was this, I think it was some rap star guy, and his car was outside, like a Hummer or something outside. Mm-hmm. And the guy said, look, you've literally got 5 minutes. So David said, it's always lights up. And the guy was like, wait, where do you want me? I'm not into this Westfair. And by the end of it, after that fight, I think he stayed about 25, 35 minutes, because the guy said, oh, can we also try this? Because David had broken through that, you know, just by engaging and paying interest in the guy, not just his music and the fact that he's in the public eye, but him as a person, you know.
Yeah, look, it goes without saying, just be interested in people, and doors will open for you, not just photographically, but you'll feel much better about yourself.
Damn right.
You know, it's a key thing. You know, to take a great interest in your subject will open many, many doors for you.
Yeah, I think that's a great pointer to end on. And yeah, let's go and get in the warm.
Yeah, let's get a bit breezy. It's a bit breezy, but thanks a lot for having me on. Anyway,
true. Cheers.
Okay, thanks.
So, the moral of the story? Interact with other photographers, get out there and make some great pictures rather than just sitting there and talking about it. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage and at TheActiveTog for all the latest news, web links, hints and tips. There's also the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer, or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast.